So the topic we will be discussing tonight is somewhat unconventional. And in reality, all these many years I've been giving shiurim, I always shied away from discussing this topic, but it's a fascinating sugya, and it's a sugya like all the others. So today we will be discussing the mitzvah of kvuras ameis and related issues regarding parshas Vayechi. So before Yankov passes away, and before his demise, ulifnei she'ole b'sa'ara hashamayma, he calls Yosef, and he asks, don't bury me in Eretz Mitzrayim. Bring me up to the land of my fathers, of Avraham and Yitzchak, and bury me b'sdei ha'machpelo. And when Yankov passes away, v'yetzav Yosef es avodov, es ha'roifim lachmait es oviv, v'yachantu ha'roifim es Yisrael, and they performed chanota. I wouldn't have an inkling what chanota is in English.
Embalmed.
So Yaakov Avinu was embalmed, and then Yosef turns to Paray, and he tells Paray, I swore to my father, I won't bury him in Eretz Mitzrayim, I need to bury him in Israel, and they all go up. And many shaylas I've been dealing with in the past years that in a way are related to mitzvah sakfura. Just recently, I was asked by a very important kehillah in Europe, and there is a Jewish burial site going back to the period of the Roman Empire, going back more than 2,000 years. And the question is, and many of the bones and artifacts and teeth are dispersed in the open, not really buried in graves. And they asked whether they could take some of those teeth and test them for DNA to further develop the understanding of the Jewish mitochondrial DNA, which is only one of the many interesting shaylos I have had to deal with throughout the years. So, what is the source that kvura is a mitzvah sasei? And is it a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabbanan? I would appreciate if I could have a Rambam last chelek, Rambam shoiftim. So the Rambam makes it very clear, kavura, yes, is a mitzvah to say the uraisa. And actually the sugi starts in Sanhedrin and Daf Memvav when the Gemara says, remez lekavura menatoyra menayin. How do we know that there is a mitzvah of kavura to bury the dead menatoyra? And the Gemara says, why don't we learn from the others? Well, Yitzchak buried Avraham, Yaakov buried Yitzchak, Yosef buried Yaakov, as we see in this week's parsha. So the Gemara says, Dilma minhaga. Maybe it was a custom. Maybe it was a minig. So the Gemara says, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to be Mishanam in a minig. Very interesting. If it was a minig, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels obliged by minhaga Yisrael. So maybe it still is a minig. And then the Gemara brings the posuk, Ki kavor tigbereno. So the posuk directly deals with Chai v'Mises Beis Din. Loi tolin nevlosoi alu eitz ki kavor tigbereno. But the Rambam makes clear in various different sources. Let's have a look in Perek Yud Beis Melchus Ovel. And I think the very first halacha in Perek Yud Beis of Hilchus Ovel. So the Rambam writes, Ha-hesped, kvoida meisu, ulefichach koifen es yorsham litan schara mekoinenim va mekoinenois vesoiv denoisoi, veim tzivo, if the deceased demanded and asked not to have his spadim, ein soiv denoisoi, it's his privilege, it's his honor, and if he doesn't want it, we don't do it. So just last week we spoke about Rav Shteiman, Zecher Tzadik B'Kodesh Lavroch, and he asked not to have a spadim. Well, throughout the week, I've been giving some huge spade amount of Shteyman. Yesterday night, Mitzvah Shabbos and Bayit Vegan, and there probably were there about 600 or 700 people. And I apologized to Rav Shteyman, and he said, I know that you asked not to have any Espedim, but if you would be aware of the chizik that I hope many people will have, you know, just speaking about his greatness and his midas, I knew Rav Shteyman very intimately, and I was sure he would smile and say, if you think so, go ahead. So the Rambam paskens, if a person says he does not want to have Espedim, we don't do Espedim. Avol im tzivu shelo yikvoru oisoi ein shoymen loy shakvure mitzvah shenemar ki kavor sigvereno. So the Rambam differentiates between hesped and kvure. Hesped is all about honoring the deceased. And if he foregoes his honor, then we don't do it. But he cannot say, I don't want to be buried, because burial is a mitzvah that rests upon others. It rests upon the Yorshim, and therefore it's irrelevant. The fact that he said, I don't want to be buried, is irrelevant. And the Rambam brings the posek, ki kavor sigverenu, and that is also in Sefer HaMitzvahs. Mitzvahs to say, Reish Lamed Aleph. And the Rambam says, kavor sigverenu is not only chai v'mises beisdin, it refers to each and every Jew, to each and every individual. And we find this very similar once again in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek Tezvav. So in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek Tezvav, the Rambam deals with Chai v'Mises Beisdin, and in Perek Tezvav, Halochaches. Mitzvah sasei ligbor et kol harugei beidin biyom hariga. Shenemar ki kovar sikvarenoi biyoyim haru. Velo harugei beisdin belvad ele kol ha-meilenes meisoyoi ve-belo ta'aseh. Helinoi lechvoidoi lehoviloi orav v'tachrichem. And this Rambam is the source to Minag Hu Olam. Yes, usually people make an effort to bury the deceased as soon as possible. But if it is Lechvoidoi, family members, close family members want to come from Chutz Laaretz, then it is permissible. Because if it's Lechvoidoi, it is permissible. And this is one of the interesting questions in this week's parasha. So what did they do after Yosef passed away? Once again, he was embalmed, for 210 years, Yosef was in a casket. He wasn't buried. So the Gemara says in Saita, they put him into the Kinneret, into the sea, but he was not buried. And the Rambam says, you must bury a person on that very same day. So they put him in a casket, but he was never buried for more than 200 years till Moshe Rabbeinu nisasek ba'atzmei Yosef, and he brings Yosef to Eretz Yisrael to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam says, if it's lechavoidoi, then it's okay. So usually, lehoviloi oran v'tachruchim, how long would that take? A few hours, it'll take a day. Family members have to come from Australia. How long will it take? It'll take 2 days. But in our case, 200 years, and he was in a casket and he was never buried. So Reb Chaim Palagi in Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, Ois Aleph, it's in alphabetical order, Ois Aleph, Siman Tzadik Beis, brings from the Mekubolim, that if a person was never poigim in Bris, he does not need to be buried in the earth. His burial would be just covered, Mishim Kvoida Meis, he should be put away. But you do not need burial on earth, only if a person was poigim b'kedushas habris, and he brings sources from the Zayar. Well, the Ramban in Torah Sodom and the Chedushei Haran, Sanhedrin Membav, say, when the Gemara learns that kibur is a mitzvah, ki kovor sigverenu, that means earthly burial on earth. So this Reb Chaim Palagi has no room, according to the Ramban Daran. That is the mitzvah of ki kovor sigverenu. But in the Rambam, we seem to have a contradiction. Because I quoted the Rambam, two different sources in Mishneh Torah, Perik Tezvov Sanhedrin, Perik Yud Beis, and Hilchos Ovel. The Rambam says, burial seems to be a mitzvah asei. It is also in Sefer HaMitzvahs, as I quoted, Mitzvah Reish Lamed Aleph HaMitzvahs HaSei. But the Rambam in Perek Yud Dalet of Hilchos Avol seems to contradict what he wrote in Perek Yud Beis of Hilchos Avol. So in Perek Yud Beis, in the very first halacha, the Rambam writes, Kvuras HaMeis is a Mitzvah HaSei, and therefore if a Meis says, I don't want to be buried, it is irrelevant. We totally disregard his wish. So the Rambam in the very first halacha in Perek Yud Dalet, and this is a halacha I quoted many times, and the study Talmidim at this year will remember this halacha. The Rambam says that Gemilas Chasodim Begufoi is a mitzvah medivrei seifrim. So let us read the Rambam. Mitzvah sasei shel devreim, levakra choylem, ulanachem aveilem, ulahoitzi ameis, ulahachnas akalo, ulalavois orchem, v'lasik b'kol tzorkei hakavura, loseis ala koseif, v'leilach lafonov, v'lispod, v'lachpor, v'lekvor, v'chein l'sameh chosn v'kala v'lasadam v'kol tzorkeim. Elo hen gemeles chosodam shebegufoi. V'yafor pishekol mitzvos elo midevreihem, harayem v'chlal v'yahavtu l'reyach u'kamoicho. So the Rambam clearly says, all these mitzvos are midevreihem. Bein hashar. He relates to Achnosas Kala, Birkei Choylem, Nichum Aveilem, V'lasok bekol tzorchei hakvura, Laset al hakatef, V'leilach lafonav, L'spod, L'achpor, V'lekvor. So the Rambam seems to say, it's a mitzvah de Rabbanim, a mitzvah medivrei soiflem. L'kvor, three different sources. The Rambam says it's a deoraisa, and that seems to be clear in the Gemara. So there are two different approaches in the Achloinim. Leiv Sameach on Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvahs HaSei Reish Lamed Aleph, says, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa on the Yorushim, on the family, not on others. The mitzvah of Kvura rests upon those that inherit the deceased. And it is as if you're gaining benefit, monetary gain, so it's your responsibility. But others, it's only a mitzvah derabbanan. That is the Leiv Sameach. Doesn't fit into the Loshon of the Rambam. Neither Perek Tesvov Sanhedrin, neither Perek Yud Beis in Hilchos Avel, neither in Sefer HaMitzvahs, because in all these three sources, he does not differentiate who is the one that's chayiv. Doesn't seem that there's a different halacha. The other approach is, Kvura might be a mitzvah sasei d'oraisa, but Kvura ba'adama, maybe that is the Rabbanan. And therefore, in Perek Yud Aleph, the number writes, Lachpor v'lekvor, that is the Rabbanan. I think both approaches are unreasonable. And my understanding would be, of course, Kvura is a mitzvah d'oraisa. But when it is clear in the Poskim that the Yorshim have the Chiyuv of Kvura, does it mean that it's an exclusive chiyuv resting only on the Yorshim? They are the first. And it's only natural, because they're the closest to the person. Who are the ones that are first and foremost chayv in Achnosas Kala? And when the Rambam and Chazal speak about Achnosas Kala, it's not raising money. In our days, you say Achnosas Kala, it's about money. The mitzvah of Achnosas Kala is l'sameach osa v'kala. Come to the wedding, dance, make them happy. So who are the ones that are supposed to make a chosan and a kala happy, if not family? So even when we say, kvuras ameis is a mitzvah d'oraisa, yes. But by the very nature of the mitzvah, it rests upon those that are closest. Close family members of a second degree, friends, neighbors. Sefer HaChinuch, and I pointed this out many times in the past, dealing with Korban Tomid, Sefer HaChinuch says, the mitzvah rests upon Klal Yisrael, but primarily on the Koyanim. Why is that? Mishiyesh biyodoy. Well, Klal Yisrael, everybody bears responsibility that every day the two Korbanos should be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody bears responsibility, but it's primarily on those that have the means. So it rests primarily on the Koyanim. And I think that is a general idea by all the mitzvahs.
Yeah, I think so too.
When the Rambam says that a mitzvah medivrei soifrim, he means to say, all members of a community need to feel obliged to participate and taking care of the needs of members of the community, of residents in the city. And that is by simchas and in mourning, in times of sorrow and in times of simcha. So when the Rambam says it's a mitzvah medivrei soifrim, Biker choylem, nichum aveilem, achnusas kala, kavuras ameis, into itself is a mitzvah diuraisa. But I think the kavon of the Rambam is very clear. It's a mitzvah medivrei soifrim that every member in a Jewish community should feel part of the community and he should participate in all the different aspects of gemilas chasudim begufoy. Biker choylem. Person doesn't have a chiyuv to be mevaker every chayla. And once again, by the nature of the mitzvah, it rests primarily on the family. Somebody is ill. Who are the ones, by the very nature of the mitzvah, to care for him, to look after him? Family, neighbors, friends. But medivrei soifrim, we all have to feel these are mitzvahs in which we need to participate. So I don't think there's any contradiction between the three sources of the Rambam, Kvurusa Mesa Mitzvah Diuraisa, and Perik Yud Dalad, when the Rambam says, Gemilas Chasodim Begufa is a Mitzvah Medivrayim, and that is, Achnosas Kalam Bekecholem, and Nichom Aveilem, and Kvurusa Mesa. The Rambam means that Medivrei Soifrim, every member of a community needs to feel responsibility to care for the needs of Klal Yisrael, to care to the needs of all the members of the community.
And you quoted the Rambam as saying, if he wants no hesped, you listen to him.
Yes, yes, because hesped is kvoda shalodim, and therefore he has the right to say, I don't want to spade him. But that does not refer to kvoda, as we explained. There's a fascinating tshuva in Machne Chaim. And this is also something I've been asked so many times, and it's such a pitiful, pitiful phenomena. There are many secular people, especially assimilated Jews, that ask to be cremated. And I was asked many times by from people regarding parents, father, mother, a Zayda, a Baba that has to be cremated, or a brother. Do they need to intervene? And it's a grave aveira. First of all, it's bitul mitzvah seishal kvuras ameis. So there's a fascinating tshuva in Machne Chaim. The Machne Chaim was one of the younger talmidim of the Chasam Sofer. He was the Av Beis Din in Munkach, a phenomenal goon. And in Chelek Gimel, Yoredeya Semem Beis, he was asked by a businessman that travels the world over, and he does not carry around his Jewish identity. Maybe he visited countries in which it was dangerous to be a Jew in those times, in those ages. So he did not appear, and to his associates and people that he met with, he did not want to appear as a Jew. He concealed his Jewish identity. And he was afraid he might pass away in a distant country, in a distant land. And he asked the Machne Chaim what would be preferable, to have a note on his body and ask to be cremated, or have them bury him in an un-Jewish cemetery. What would be preferable? So the Machne Chaim first gives him Musar, and justly so. And the Machne Chaim says, well, if you live like a goy, don't expect to be buried like a Jew. You know, it doesn't go that way. So if you're ashamed of your Jewishness, and you travel as a goy, then you really have a problem. But his psak is totally counterintuitive, and he paskins it would be preferable to be cremated than to be buried amongst non-Jews, which is a gewaldige chiddush. In Chazal, we do not find a prohibition of a Jew being buried amongst goyim. We do find a sugya ein koivr and tzaddik eitzel rosher, and it's the same aloha. It's the same aloha. Jews throughout the ages were so makbid on kevi Yisroel. But by halachic definition, the origin of this halacha, the source is Ein Koivin Tzadik Eitzel Rosh. So the Machna Chaim has an amazing argument, and he says, Mitzvah's Kavura doesn't rest upon the person. The deceased could never bury himself. All he could contribute to this mitzvah is not much. So the mitzvah doesn't rest upon him. It rests upon others. And if he dies in a distant place, nobody has the mitzvah, because nobody would be aware of his demise. So actually, who's mevatel the mitzvah? He's not mevatel the mitzvah because he can't bury himself anyway. Others are not aware of his demise. So it would be preferable to be cremated than to be buried amongst goyim. There's a similar tshuva in Igros Moshe. Yoredeya, Semen Nun Vav, I think it's Chelik Gimel or Chelik Dalad in Yoredeya. And he reaches a totally different conclusion, and I totally agree with the Igros Moshe. I think it definitely would be preferable to be buried. Kvura ba'adom is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And Kovran Tzedek Etzel Roshe is an inyan. Let's hope that at some stage his family will become aware and they might transfer his mukum kvura and bring him to proper burial, the Kevi Yisrael. But to burn a Jewish body is a grave transgression. So the psak of the Machna Chaim is really a big chiddush, and I would not agree. I think the Igros Moshe definitely is right. So we have many shyness.
He's asked to be cremated. That's why we're digging. There is another one we're not doing with Kuba, but he himself asked to be cremated.
Yes. Yes, I think you have a point. Even though he is not performing the Aveda, but just asking to be cremated in itself would be considered an Aveda. So big machloikis and achroinim, what is the shiur kavura? And it is relevant. Sometimes for medical purposes, doctors want to take a biopsy or even perform an autopsy. And sometimes authorities want to perform autopsies for different reasons. Sometimes the legal system demands it to indict people that maybe brought about the demise of a person in criminal actions. But sometimes it is for medical reasons. And Rav Moshe has a very interesting tshuva. And the source of this shaila is two different shailas are involved, Nivun HaMeis and Bitul Mitzvahs Kavura. So what is the shiur that's Machayev Kavura? Mishnah Melech Perek Yud Aleph Hevel Chazal brings the Tosfos Yom Tov, and Tosfos Yom Tov is a Masechet Shabbos Daf Tzadik Aleph. Tosfos Yom Tov says that the shiur of mitzvah kvura is a kezayis. Kezayis men hameis, there is a mitzvah kvura. Pochas men kezayis, there is no mitzvah kvura. And the Mishnah Melech rejects the Tosfos Yom Tov. And he wants a proof from Yerushalmi in Masechet Nozio, only roishoy vereboy. It is only if the majority of the body is intact, only then is there a mitzvah of kavura. Well, there definitely is a mitzvah that a bonan or a minig to bring even any part of a person's body to kavura. But the ikra mitzvah, according to Mishnah Melech, only Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos Yom Tov says, kezayis. Noida be Yehuda, madura kama. Yoredei Semen Tzadik supports the opinion of the Tosfos Yom Tov, the shiras kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda Asad, one of the great Gedolim in Hungary, Yoredeya, Simashin Min Bois, he says, Kavura is associated with Tumas Meis. And like Kezayis Menameis is Metame Ba'oil, Kezayis Menameis Chayat Kavura. I don't know why Rabbi Yehuda Asad would maintain and assume that Kavura Sameis has anything to do with Tumas Meis. Why would these two be associated? Lechoyra, Kavura Lechud, Tumas Meis Lechud, and they have nothing to do one with the other. The Noida Biyuda writes that Kvuras HaMeis is Mishum Kvoid HaMeis, which once again is a guess, a more reasonable guess. More mistava to say Kvuras HaMeis is associated with Kvoid HaMeis than with Tumas HaMeis. But even that is somewhat of a guess. Loi Darshin and Tama Deklo. I think in the past, in a few opportunities, we discussed the concept of Tama Deklo, and I brought various different sources to prove that sometimes when the time of a mitzvah is so obvious and so self-evident, we do find that Chazal and the Rishonim were Mechadish Halachas based on their assumption of Tamei HaMitzvahs. I think it's a fairly reasonable approach to say that Kuras HaMeis is associated with Kvoid HaMeis. Ein zeh l'kvoid shel adam, to be mutar k'doymen al pnei asoda v'ke'evin she'ein l'hofchim. But it's not so reasonable that it's associated with Tumas HaMeis. And if it's associated with Kvoid HaMeis, how would we know whether the Shir is Gezayis or Roisho v'Riboy? The Minchas Chinuch has a different approach, and the Minchas Chinuch maintains that maybe there's a mitzvah of Kvoras HaMeis, Tof Kuf Lamed Zayin in Minchas Chinuch, and the Chazon Ish as well. In Yehudaism and Eshches, they say, even Puchas Megazayis, there would be a chiyuv of kvura. Tshuvas Maharsham, and the Maharsham was one of the greatest poskim in his era. Tshuvas Maharsham, Chelik Dalet, Semekut Yud Beis says. Then even if we assume there is no chiyuv of kvura only by Roisha v'Riboy, but if we did find the body of a person, chiyuv kvura is chal al kuloi. But nevertheless, the Igros Moshe in the tshuva I alluded to before, Yoredeya, Chelik Beis, and Kufnun Aleph, and the Nishma Savron brings the same psak in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. When we're dealing with blood being drawn from a deceased person, or even some minimal amount of tissue, and there is a real reason to do so for medical purposes, maybe to prevent illness or death in the family. Sometimes it is needed for genetic testing for genetic disorders. Both Reb Shlomo Zalman and Reb Moshe agreed that if we're dealing with just a blood sample or some minimal amount of tissue, that would not be defined neither as Nevel HaMeis, and it would not go against the mitzvah of Kavura. And therefore, I did give a heter to take teeth, not uprooting a kever, but if teeth of the deceased 2,000 years ago are found, to take DNA samples. To take samples, we do not even need to destroy those teeth. We actually put them into a solution, and some of the tissue dissolves into the solution, and that is enough to take DNA samples, and then they could take those teeth and put them back and bury them together with any other bones that were found on the site. So these are some of the interesting shyness I have dealt with throughout the age, not throughout the ages, throughout my ages.
If he was buried among goyim, because there was no other way, and his Jews find out later on, aleim chuyev to take
to transfer him
and put it back into the Jewish cemetery.
Yes, are they mechuyev? Maybe, but they definitely have a mitzvah. It definitely is permissible, and it definitely is recommendable. Whether they're mechuyev is a different shaila, but there are three reasons which would justify uprooting a kever and transferring the person elsewhere. One is to bury a person in Eretz Yisrael, and this is a major discussion between later achronim. My Rebbe, the Kloizer Mogel Rebbe, is very adamantly opposed to transferring Mason from Chutzlots to Eretz Yisrael. And in Divrei Yitzchak, there are a few tshuvas about this. But even though I am a very loyal Talmud of the Kloizer Mogel Rebbe, I wrote various tshuvas in which I was matia, because al pi Shulchan Aruch and al pi Chazal, and according to the vast majority of poskim, it is justified to bring Mason from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, remove them from their burial sites in Chutz Laretz, and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. The other would be Kivrei Avosov. That today is not so relevant as it was in the past. And the Imre Eish was one of the greatest Talmidim of the Sam Sofer, and I'm a descendant of the Imre Eish. He writes that, as we see in this week's parasha, Mora Samach Pela, the custom in days of yore was family chelkas. That is no longer so. So many people prefer to be buried close by to other family members, to their parents, but it is no longer the custom of family plots. And, you know, there are big chelkas, and so many poskim can feel it is no longer justified to uproot a kever to bring him closer to other members of the family. But when the mace is bebezoyin, that is number three. So if a Jew is buried among goyim, everyone would agree that it would be permissible and even recommendable to take him out of his burial site and to bury him amongst his brethren in kever yisrael. So many years ago, going back 200 years, there was a big discussion between the poskim whether we could take a mace out of his kever to give a heter to his wife to marry. The person was lost. And many felt, you know, that he was buried and his wife was an aguna and she couldn't remarry. And the question is, could we take him out of his kever to check his body and to find a heter for his wife to remarry? So in Shalas Etshuvas, Shiva Sioin, who was the son of the Noide Biyuda, and Memala Mokrim Avoisov, Reb Shmuel Orlando, was the Rav in Prague after the Noide Biyuda passed away, and he was one of the great poskim of his generation. And Sina Samech Dalad, we find a tshuva from Rav Loza Fleckels, who was a Talmud of the Noide Biyuda, dealing with this question. Could we take a man out of his kever to give a heter to his wife to marry? And Rav Loza Fleckels says, yes, he gives a heter, but only if Rav Shmuel Orlando would agree. And Rav Shmuel Orlando was very hesitant for some reason. And the discussion starts in an amazing sugya in Bava Basra, Kufnu, and Daladum and Beis. And the story of Bava Basra starts with a business deal, a transaction. Pliny Almoini sold a field, sold real estate, and suddenly he passed away. And obviously he was very young. His Yorshim, his family argued that at the time of the transaction he was a cotton, and a cotton cannot sell land, and the transaction is invalid. The purchasers argued he was a godel, and the land is ours. And they demanded, let's check him. We could take him out of his kever, and we could check, hey, these stay status or not. And the Gemara says, which of the two parties demands checking the body? If it's the relatives of the seller, then how could they bring about nivul ha'meis? But if it's the purchasers that demand that the body be checked, they have a right to demand so. So, just to solve a dispute, a monetary dispute, seems to be clear in the Gemara, we could take a man out of his grave to check his body. Would a heter of an aguna be less important than solving a monetary dispute? Said Moshe argues, this is impossible. Impossible. We cannot desecrate a body and violate the covet of a mace to solve a monetary dispute. And when Rav Moshe is fairly convinced about something, oh, it's very hard to change his views. And sometimes he offers very remote pirushim, just standing on his principles. So he says, that is clear as daylight. Nobody would say you could take a body out of a grave to check, to solve a monetary dispute. But the purchasers could argue, from our point of view, we want the body to be checked. So you disagree, so you have to pay the price of your disagreement. And therefore, we keep this field and we decide that the transaction would be valid. I think it's a far-fetched pshat. So Reb Shmuel Lando and Reb Loza Flechels learned the Gemara Kipshutoi, and they prove Hadvorim Kal V'Chomer. If we could check a body to solve a monetary issue, then we definitely could check a body to give a heter for his wife to remarry. And that is the opinion of many, many Achronim that participated in this discussion. Shoyel Meshiv, Reb Shileib Diskin, Chuvis Maril Diskin, Psokim, Simen, Lamed Aleph, and many others, dealing with the question of Heter Agunis, and the agreement of the vast majority of Achronim was that it is permissible. Or HaShulchan, Yoredeyesh, Shin Samach Gimel, Siv Ches, and many others, as I quoted. So, V'yechantu es Yankoi, they performed Chanota, which once again is a very interesting question. Is that halachically permissible? So, it was before Matan Torah. They still didn't have any mitzvah of kvura. But many times we quoted what we learned twice in Shas, Kiyam Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo Hinitna Afilu Elef Tavshulin. So, even though the mitzvah of Kavura still wasn't given, because the Gemara I quoted in Sanhedrin of Mem Vav says the source of mitzvah of Kavura is the pasuk regarding Mises Beis and Kikov HaTikbaran. We don't learn it from the Ovis. The Ovis just might have been a minag. But in the process of embalmment, it's clear in Chazal that the internal organs are removed. And what about kvura? What about nivul ha-meis? But if that is the only way to fulfill the rotzen of the meis, maybe there would be no issur of nivul ha-meis. And Yosef and Yaakov asked to be buried in Mitzrayim. And Yaakov asked to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the only way to bury him in Eretz Yisrael would be by embalming his body. So that would obviously override nivul ha-meis. But it cannot override mitzvah akvura, as we saw in the Rambam. A meis that says they should not be buried, no. But mitzvah akvura ultimately was performed. They brought him to Eretz Yisrael. If it's likvoidai, then we could postpone the kvura. So obviously that was the heter of Chanota. But that's a machloikas medish in this week's parsh. Rabbi and Rabbonon. Rabbi says, Lamu meis Yosef lifnei Echov. Why was young Yosef, who was almost the youngest of the Shvotim, and he had a shorter life than his older brothers, mipnei shechonatas aviv. That is what Rabbi says. So according to Rabbi, that was an aveira. The Chachamim say no. No. He did a mitzvah by performing Chanota. That was Yankov's will. Amazing tshuva in Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer is in Shinum Gimel and Yoredeyo. And I think that Chasam Sofer is based on the lotion of the Medesh. Chasam Sofer says, he explains the opinion of Rabbi. What was the aveira of Yosef by embalming his father? Yosef should have been confident that Yaakov, being such a tzaddik, lo tishlot rikavon bigufo. There was no need to embalm Yaakov. He should have been confident in Yaakov's tzidkes that his body will remain intact. Velo tishlot rikavon bigufo, out of his kedusha. And that was the aveira of Yosef by embalming Yaakov, not the actual act of embalmment. And in this week's parsha, in the beginning of the parsha, there's an amazing Ramban. In the beginning of the parsha, and I remember as a child, I don't know whether Chadorim do this today, and I don't know whether it is only Chassidish Chadorim or the others as well. But the beginning of the parsha, Yaakov speaks to his children, Yosef. Yaakov speaks to his children, and he says, "V'ani בבואים הפדון, מייסו אלי רוחל בארץ קנן, בדרך בועיד קברה סרס לו ויפרוסו, ואיג בריאו שם בדרך אפרס, היא בייס לוחם. As a child, the Rebbe said it with a niggun, Va'ani, every year I cried. I was so moved by that tune, by that niggun. My einiglich don't seem to be as moved as I was. In my vivid childhood memories, I was so touched by the story of Rochel and Yankov apologizing to his children why he had to, apologizing to Yosef why he had to bury Rochel in the middle of the way. Well, this brings tears to my eyes right now, just remembering it. So the Ramban says, Yankov apologizes to Yosef, and he says, what could I have done? She passed away in the middle of the way. I didn't have the doctors and the professionals to embalm her, and therefore I needed to bury her immediately. So the Ramban seems to say once again, if he would have the means, then he would have her embalmed and he wouldn't bury her b'oy kivras derech. So obviously, the avos, to them, it was elechatchila, even though the body is tampered with, but if that is kavoidim, then there is no isov nevola meis, because that is kavoidim. How about burial? Probably they buried. Whatever they took out was buried, and they would time ultimately the mitzvah of kavuda. So the interesting tshuva in tshuva said Ashba, chedak alaf shin samach gimel. And then Ashba once again deals with a child that wanted to have his father buried in a faraway place. I think he wanted to bring his father to burial in Etzesor. And it always was a big problem in days of yore. There weren't the means of refrigeration and keeping a body cool enough to prevent the decay of a body. So in the days, in the ancient times, they embalmed the bodies. So the Rashba was asked, could they use sid to destroy the flesh? And then the skeleton could be transferred, and a skeleton does not decompose as fast. And the Rashba says it's no problem. Yes, you could use sid, legrom ikul bosor, ve'enkan loitzar ameis, that's what the Rashba writes in Chelek Aleph Siman Shin Samach Gimel, which is a big kiddush. So the Rambam, the Rashba maintains that bringing about using sid to have the flesh deteriorate and having just a skeleton to be brought to burial in Eretz Yisrael would be permissible, and that's an interesting tshuva of the Rashba. So we discussed the halachic issue and many relevant shailas and discussions that we find in the poskim throughout the ages. And this week,
Yosef, is the only approach to explain why he was in the Nilus for 200 years, is it only through that by saying that he was such a tzaddik and was shomer habris? Or maybe can one say that since being in the Nilus waiting to be buried would also be allowed without that chiddush?
Yeah, maybe, because there's room to argue. He was buried in the Nilus, and he was on the riverbed. So he was al gabe karka, covered with water, and maybe being covered with water would be as good as being covered with earth.
Another shvutim?
What?
Shvutim also. They also brought to Ezesor.
Yes, yeah.
So they were also in the water.
Where do we find that the Shevutim were in the water?
He said Yosef was in the water.
But we find that by Yosef. But I do not recall that we find that by the other Shevutim. Yes, so that would be another approach. But approach number three would be, Yosef asked, once again, not to be buried by Eretz Mitzrayim. So Yosef asked two things. He has to be brought to Eretz Yisrael. But he specifically asked not to be buried in Eretz Mitzrayim. and therefore he was not to be buried in Etz Mitzrayim, not even temporarily. And that is why he was deposited in the Nilus till the time of Geulas Mitzrayim. So this week, Sefer Bereishis comes to a climax, and we finish Sefer Bereishis. And I just want to explain two different approaches to Sefer Bereishis. And I think both approaches are so vivid, dealing with the sugya of Yosef ve'Echov. So each and every week in Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Avos, we discussed different aspects of Maase Avos. So the two approaches are, I would say, the Musadik approach and the approach of the Mekubalim. So many giants throughout the ages, Chachmei HaMusar, Rishonim, and even Chazal, try to analyze and understand Maase Avos and learn from them Torah, Musar, Chassidus, trying to understand the conduct, the actions and interactions of the others based on our understanding of the human spirit. The other approach is, no, nothing that happened with the others was personal. The Ramban says in the very first passage, Tagdom and Chumashemois, Maase Avos Yetzira Labonim. Everything the others did, everything the others said, everything that happened to them, was not l'makoy moy v'shatoy. It was all deciding the fate and eternity and the future of Klal Yisrael. And I want to give a few examples. So in Atzik's Parsha, when Yosef meets Yaakov, v'yipal al tzavorov, Rashi brings, Yaakov did not cry, and he did not embrace Yosef. The Sfas Emes brings, in the name of his great Seder, the Chedish Arim, quoting the Maral and Gur Aryeh, that when a person has an uplifting experience, in moments of grace, when he is moved to the depth of his heart, he should try to take advantage of those moments to perform a mitzvah, to do something for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to take those sublime moments of emotion and utilize them in the service of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when Yaakov was overwhelmed with simcha, seeing Yosef, he took advantage of that simcha to say Kriya Shema. And it is said that a chassid tends his pshat Rab Chaim Briska. And Rab Chaim Soloveitchik responded by saying, Menem de ovis and metitz onin zera hoisen. We take the ovis and we dress them in our pants. Rab Chaim didn't like the idea. Typical of Reb Chaim, typical of Brisk. So Reb Chaim gave another suggestion, which I personally, I can't say I'm that excited about. So Reb Chaim said, Kol Zman, Yaakov Avinu, was busy with coming to Eretz Mitzrayim. It was Oisik Mitzvah. Once he arrives in Eretz Mitzrayim, now he's Chayvin Kriya Shema. So, he does see Yosef, he doesn't see Yosef, first you have to say Kriya Shema. Up to now you are Potak, you are Oisek B'mitzah, coming to Mitzrayim, Oisek B'mitzah, Potak B'mitzah. Now, first say Kriya Shema. Once again, typical of Brisk. But Reb Chaim voiced the sentiment, we shouldn't take the others and dress them in our pants. Maybe. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, last week's parsha, asks another question, a gewaltige Scheine. Yosef became a person of immense power in Egypt, Mishnah HaMelech Mitzrayim. Rak HaKisei Agil Mincho. Why didn't Yosef immediately send a messenger to Yaakov Avinu and let him know, I'm alive, Baruch Hashem, I want to see you. I'll come to visit, maybe you want to come to see me. 17 years transpired and Yosef didn't do any effort to reach out to Yaakov. How come? So the L'chaim says, Yosef didn't want to embarrass his brothers and hurt their feelings and insult them, because if he would let Yaakov know he's alive, Yaakov would inquire what happened, what transpired. And he didn't want to be Malvin Pnei Achav. And I was always disturbed by this pshat, and I confess, who am I to question the Orachayim? That everybody learns with the Seichel HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. Who deserves our mercy and our sympathy? Is it the brothers that sold Yosef, threw him into a pit, Mor HaNachosh and Vakrav, and sold him to Eretz Mitzrayim? Or Yankev HaTzadik that is sitting in Sakoi V'Tanisoi U'Mis'abel Al Binoi? And it is not only because the Mincha Sosha L'Shitosa, I said a shiur 2 weeks ago, and I said, Malum Pnei Chaveda B'Rahavim is not Mamish Yehel Yavor. I think regardless, if I would be in that dilemma, I would decide it's more important to let Yaakov know, stop mourning, stop crying, I'm alive. And then I'll deal with the question, exactly what am I going to tell him, how can I convey the story. But I think calming Yaakov from his immense tzar and mourning would be more important than dealing with the question, the embarrassment of his brothers. I was so happy a few years ago when I saw in Perush HaRosh al HaTorah, and I'm always inspired by the ashes of the Rishonim, and that is a message I try to convey to my Talmidim. The Rosh asks this very same question, and the Rosh said that Yosef was sure beyond doubt that telling Yaakov this story, what transpired, will cause him more torment and pain and despair than the Avelis sitting over Yosef. If Yaakov will hear what the brothers did to Yosef and to him, and all these years they didn't care, and they didn't have remorse, and they didn't do tshuva, that will cause Yaakov more torment and more despair and more tsar than the Avelis of Yosef. That has far more appeal to me. Yosef cared about Yaakov and his feelings and his pain and suffering. It was not that he cared about preventing embarrassment from his brothers, and that is why he left Yaakov in his mourning. But both approaches deal with the others as individuals, with their feelings, and trying to understand their conduct. But in the Zohar HaKadosh, throughout Chumash Bereishis, we find a totally different approach. And I want to remind you what I said a few weeks ago about the brochus and the b'choyre. So Yaakov buys the b'choyre from Esav in a questionable fashion, questionable transaction. And then he cheats the brochus out of Esav by deceit. And many deal with the question, why, how? And I quoted the Zohar. The Zohar says, Yaakov doesn't need the b'choyre. It's not about pishnayim b'yerusha. Yaakov needs the b'choyre to achieve the brochus. And why does he need the brochus? It has nothing to do with him. Yaakov knows Baruch HaKodesh that Klal Yisrael cannot be zoicha to Golus Mitzrayim and to Binyan Beis Rishon only with one brocha. They can never be redeemed from Bavel and have the second Beis Hamikdash only with the second brocha. And the major brochas that he got instead of Esav are the ones in their merit we be zeuche to binyan bayis ha-shlishi and tikkun oilem b'malchus shachar. That is the Zohar. So the Zohar's interpretation is, it's not about Yankov, it's not about Esav, it's about Klal Yisrael, it's about tikkun oilem, it's about the Osid, Masa Oves Yitzira Labonim, in the spirit of the Zohar, regarding the question, why didn't Yosef send a messenger to Yaakov? Why didn't he let Yaakov know he's alive? My feeling is, Yosef sits back and tries to understand what's happening. His brothers threw him into a pit, sold him to a distant land. It's not typical. He knows his brothers, they're tzaddikim. Something is happening here. It's not typical. It's strange. And then, when he arrives in that distant land, he gets a prestigious position to be helper of one of the top ministers, and then his wife harasses him. This is strange. And Yosef feels something is happening here which is far bigger than the individual players. We are actors in something far greater than the participants. And Yosef is thrown into jail. He's a short while in jail, and his two fellows dream. Suddenly, he reveals a new talent. Poisach Halomis. Where did he learn that? He gives it a try. And he does just great. And then Pali dreams. And of all the mumchim and all the machashvim and mitzrayim, he's taken out of a cell. So he's Poisach Olam. And what a crazy king. Because the young boy was Poisach Olam, he becomes second in command. The most powerful person in the Mitzrayim. Did Pali check, do you have administrative skills? Did you go to business school? Do you know how to count? Are you familiar with numbers? No, he was Poisach Olam. He becomes the top man in Mitzrayim. So Yosef is confident. Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing something here. And Yosef feels he has no right to intervene. He is a tool. He is a tool. He is a pawn on the chessboard of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Something far greater than the individual actors is happening here. And Yosef understands this must have to do with Jewish destiny, with the destiny of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he feels Sheval Taisa. He has no right to intervene. He just goes with the flow and responds to things as they come up. And that is why Yosef, being aware that he is part of a great master plan of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that has to do with the Osid of Klal Yisrael, with the Golas Mitzrayim and Geulas Mitzrayim and the Geulas Shleima, Yosef, he has no right to intervene, and he is afraid he might do the wrong thing. That would be my understanding regarding the kasha of the Orach Chaim HaKodesh. Why didn't Yosef turn back and let Yaakov know where he is? And these are two basic approaches to Chumash Bereishis as a whole. And both are valid, and both are substantiated. Both have sources in Divrei Chazal. So I would define approach number one as the approach of Gedolei HaMusar, and the other one is the approach of personally, approach number two has more appeal to me than approach number one, even though both have place and both are valid and both are important. But there are some sugyas which we just cannot explain only with a larger view of Masa Avos, Yetzira Labonim, and everything that happened to the Avos. Determine the fate and the destiny of Klal Yisrael, Doiro Yisrael. So as Chumash Bereishis draws to a close, once again, and we once again ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the schus of the Oves HaKdoshim. V'zorecher chanz deyavois umei v'ge'ulo lebnei v'neihem l'man shemoi b'yaharo b'glalovois toishi abonim v'sovi ge'ulo lebnei v'neihem v'biaz goel tzedek v'mheiru v'yumeinu v'vodneinu.